What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Appreciate everybody being a part of the show. If you're listening on the ESPN app or on iTunes, or if you're listening right here on 710 ESPN, we greatly appreciate you guys being a part of the show. All right, we got a lot to get into. So we're already 15 minutes into the show. We got Baxter Holmes coming on in a little bit, senior NBA writer. He'll actually come up at 7:30. He's got a good piece on NBA team health officials finding balance with new COVID-19 protocols, and then new protocols came out earlier today, so I'll get into that. Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation, one of my favorite guys to have on the show. He'll join the show as well. Okay, Lakers, 5-2 on the season. Take care of the Memphis Grizzlies yesterday. Coming up tomorrow, the Memphis Grizzlies. So Lakers have two matchups against the same team. This is not common, by the way. This is the new COVID-19 times where you're going on the road and you're facing the same opponent two games in a row, almost like a quick little baseball series, very similar to how Major League Baseball does, even though they do 3-4 game sets. So I kind of want to start off the show with how critical I think the start of the schedule is for the Lakers and these next 8 games for the Lake Show. I know some people are going to say out there, Alan, it's only game 8 is tomorrow of 72. Is it really that critical? But I'll kind of explain what I'm referring to there. So this is what the Lakers got coming up here. They got Memphis coming tomorrow. By the way, pregame show at 3:30, tip off at 5. This will be their final of this little road. They have 4 road games in a row, 2 against San Antonio, 2 against Memphis. After this game against Memphis tomorrow, they come back at Staples Center for 2 more. Listen to the opponents that the Lakers have in these next few games. You got the San Antonio Spurs this Thursday, the same Spurs team that you beat twice in San Antonio. So the expectations are, of course, you're going to take care of business at Staples Center. You got the Chicago Bulls coming to town this Friday. Me, Curtis, and 3 guys off the streets, we might be able to go toe-to-toe with the Chicago Bulls. That's just how the Bulls have been over the last few years. And then I'm going to just kind of name off the next 5 games for the Lakers after that. So let me tell you why this is important. Lakers are 2-2 right now, or they were 2-2. They've won 3 games in a row, puts them at 5-2. They finish out the rest of this week. You got Memphis, the Spurs, and the Chicago Bulls. No reason why the Lakers don't run that winning streak to 6 games. You'd be 8-2, 10 games into the season. And then after that, you got 2 games against the Houston Rockets on the road, 1 game against the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road as well, and then you're home against the Pelicans and the Golden State Warriors before you go off on that long road trip that George Sedano was talking about. Actually, if you look at the month of January, most of the Lakers games are going to be on the road, and you're going to have some tough ones coming up. But through the first 15 games of the season, you've already played 7. The next 8 opponents that you have, Memphis, the Spurs, the Chicago Bulls, 2 against Houston, 2 against Oklahoma City, 1 against the Pelicans, 1 against the Golden State Warriors. Are any of those teams the caliber of teams that you worry about? The answer is no. And why I think it's so important, once you get through that last game against the Golden State Warriors, you'll be 15 games through the season. The reason why I think it's important right now is you got a soft schedule to start off this year. The schedule only came out, you know, we have half of the schedule now. We'll get the other half after, I think, March. March 3rd is the final game that's on the current schedule. And then you'll get the, you know, I think it's like 35 games left after that. I think these games are so critical just for the mere fact that you want to kind of start building a cushion in the Western Conference. You really do. In the West, you know, if you look at the standings right now, Lakers are atop the West. They're tied with the Clippers. They're tied with the Phoenix Suns. There's a lot of other teams below them. I know a lot of people may be thinking, well, why would you worry that much about home court is not that big of a deal this year, which you're right. But I don't know what's going to happen in 3, 4, 5 months from now from an NBA perspective of what they end up deciding what they're going to do in regards to having fans in arenas. I mean, I saw one game, the Utah Jazz, they have some fans. There's some arenas out there that have some fans. But I just think for the Lakers, you got a brand new team. Yes, there's a lot of guys that are returning, but you got 4 players who are getting major, major minutes in Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, two of those guys, Marc Gasol, two of those three guys are in the starting lineup. Wesley Matthews, you got guys every single game getting 20, 25 minutes a game minimum. Maybe Marc Gasol is a little bit under that. It's going to take time for the Lakers to continue to find the chemistry, continue to find just the timing from each other. I want to play something from yesterday on Marc Gasol. So yesterday, Marc Gasol was talking about the same thing, about the players still learning each other and their tendencies. Take a listen to Marc Gasol yesterday.
I think we're learning each other. We're learning how to win as a team together. When you have new guys, going through the mistakes and how you approach them and how you fix them on the fly. Not only how you're being helped, also how you take it as a guy that probably has made a mistake. And when it's a hustle thing and you don't have enough energy, somebody else comes to you or you bring the energy up for somebody else. That's all positive. And I think that, it's all a process. And in fact, you're always getting ready, for the bigger challenge when it comes down to the playoffs.
All right, that's Marc Gasol right there. So I'm just going to go back to this. You got to take advantage of this soft schedule to get the season started. No reason why I shouldn't be sitting here a week from now. A week from now, Lakers will have played an additional four games. They're sitting at 5-2 right now. Minimum 8-3 by the time those four games are done. But I mean, if you really look at it, and I know I'm just kind of pushing on this one, but the Memphis Grizzlies, the San Antonio Spurs, the Chicago Bulls, and the Houston Rockets, that's the next four games before I do another Lakers talk show. And you want to see a Lakers team just take advantage of the soft schedule. You want to see a Lakers team take advantage of the fact that down the road, the matchups are going to get tougher. You'll have more games against Utah and Denver and the Portland Trailblazers. And frankly, if you really look at these first few games for the Lakers, they've had a lot of gimmies. Minnesota, they played without Karl Anthony Towns, obviously took care of business. Both games against the San Antonio Spurs, no LaMarcus Aldridge. You took care of the Dallas Mavericks, no Kristaps Porzingis. You took care of the Memphis Grizzlies, no Ja Morant, no Jaren Jackson Jr., and no Justice Winslow, to name some of the players that they were missing. The two real matchups that you got so far this year where the teams were actually healthy and their Western Conference foes that you think you may face in the playoffs, you lost both of those games to the Clippers and to the Portland Trailblazers. So I kind of go back to this because I do think that there's an incredible opportunity for the Lakers right now to really take advantage of the schedule and then just get better. I mean, from my perspective of just watching the Lakers on a night-in, night-out basis, and there's nothing else I'd rather do. You guys know how much I enjoy and appreciate being a part of the broadcast and doing this show and everything else. There are times where you're like, okay, the team looks okay. Or you're saying to yourself, okay, they're playing down to their competition. There's other times you're saying they're definitely pacing themselves because they know there's this long marathon in front of them, and this is not about just making the playoffs. This isn't about just winning a round. No, no, no. This is about going back-to-back and grabbing championship number 18. So with all that in mind, I'm sure there is a lot of things going on over the next 30, 60, 90 days. Coach said this when we were still in preseason. He said that he thought training camp and preseason would leak into the regular season, basically meaning we still got a lot to work on. This was a shortened preseason and a shortened, obviously, training camp, and a lot of these teams are still trying to figure a lot of things out. Okay. So tomorrow, Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies. Basically, all I'm trying to say is through the first 15 games, can we be 11-4 at worst? But maybe around 12-3 just based on the competition that you have. The only real competition I see on there, you got two road games against the Houston Rockets. And yes, you are definitely better than the Rockets, but James Harden can go off for a game for 40, 45. John Wall's playing nice. Christian Wood is a player that Michael Thompson keeps talking about. The other tough game is you got a game against the Pelicans at home. Pelicans are nice too. I mean, that's kind of a nice young team that is just kind of trying to figure themselves out, but they're going to be in the mix of making the playoffs this year. Those are the only really two games that I could look at and think that the Lakers might have any issues with or teams put up a fight. Okay, I do want to point this out as well. So earlier today, Shams Charania, this is actually going to be a perfect transition. So Baxter Holmes coming up here shortly. Baxter has a story, Baxter, senior national NBA writer. I thought it was a good story, and I got so many COVID questions to ask him because, you know, here we are right now. The NBA season is a couple weeks in. You saw earlier today Kevin Durant's going to be out for the next four games. He's got to quarantine for 7 days. COVID-19 tracing was around somebody who tested positive. Okay, this is part of the NBA now. Alex Caruso, who's out again tomorrow and has been out for the last few games, has been out not because of injury, but because of the health and safety protocols of the NBA. So in Baxter's story this morning, he's talking about team health officials trying to find balance with these new COVID-19 protocols and then doing what their regular job is, which is, you know, obviously to look out for the players and everything else. So I want to get into that with Baxter Holmes, but I do want to point out one quick thing here before we do so. So Sham Sharania put out a he put out a tweet a little bit earlier. He says the NBA has informed its 30 teams of updated rules. Starting Tuesday, all active players who are dressed to play must wear face masks until they enter the game. All players, coaches, and staffers in tiers 1-2 must wear a mask when outside, team setting, and indoor. It goes on to say, after exiting the court, active players are strongly recommended to wear a mask in bench area. The requirement resets at halftime. Wear a mask at the start of second half till after the game. Inactive players remain required to wear masks for entire game. The NBA is only going to get more stringent about their rules and try to figure out how they can keep this season flowing, knowing that this virus is still absolutely all over the country and all over the world. So we'll get Baxter's thoughts on some of the perspective from team health officials coming up next. So we appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're going till 9 o'clock tonight. Thank you for being a part of the show. Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. I want to welcome in Baxter Holmes, senior national NBA writer for ESPN. Great article right now. NBA team health officials find balance tough with new COVID-19 protocols. Baxter, happy New Year, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. You know, all things considered, it's an unusual year, to put it mildly.
Well, I got a chance you know, earlier this morning to read your article, and I was planning on doing this anyways, kind of coming on the show and talking about, okay, some of the different effects so far on COVID-19, and really just kind of looking at it from an NBA perspective, and got a chance to read encourage our listeners to go read on ESPN.com. First question I have is, what are some of the duties of team health officials that are kind of added on to what their normal role would be? Can you kind of walk us through what that is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's extensive, man. I mean, it goes down to all kinds of little stuff in the facilities. It could range to, you know, having to make sure everyone's wearing masks, to making sure things are wiped down after a certain period of time, help organizing testing, helping, you know, all kinds of logistics of, like, the restaurants they're going to, the hotels they're going to, all kinds of travel stuff. And then making sure everything meets all the extensive protocols and the different memos that the NBA puts out pretty frequently. So it's, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with these people, and there's been a very common theme where a lot of them will say that they've never been busier. And look, all of this is on top of their typical day jobs, which are very busy, you know, trying to manage an NBA team in and of itself. So it's, yeah, I mean, look, if you want me to walk through everything, I could read from the protocols and we could be here all night.
Well, it's kind of interesting, too, because when, you know, as the day progressed, we got there's some updates to the health protocols. Is that happening often? And is this kind of what the league is expecting, that as the season progresses, things are just going to be changing on the fly? And, you know, obviously the more information or the more knowledge they get or the more stringent that they need to be, is this kind of going to be the theme here, you think, at least over the next couple of months?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And look, things were changing a lot when teams were in the bubble. But operating outside of one and flying all over the NBA map, it's just increased even more so. So the health and safety protocols, even just by pages, are longer. The amount of different roles that people on teams have is more expanded. They're increasing the testing to twice a day. And to your point, there are more memos that come out about things that are adjusting. You know, it could range in everything from like, okay, nobody can jump the line to try to get a vaccine, or if you're going to have a team protocol compliance officer, it needs to be in this role, or we're going to start requiring everyone to wear sensor devices. Here's what the testing program looks like, and here's how many people on your team have to be assigned to it. You know, there's the amount of memos that come out. It's near weekly. Some people say it's near daily. There's conference calls at the league. It's not just like the one main document is a static document. It is very much a fluid and evolving document, and the amount of updates to it is pretty extensive.
Baxter Holmes, senior national NBA writer, joining Lakers Talk. Baxter, how would you kind of assess how things have gone so far over the first couple weeks of the season, and then add on top of that the preseason games, training camp? Do you think the league is having more success than they thought, or do you think this is? I mean, how would you assess the first month or so?
Yeah, no, I think it's going better than people probably anticipated, and I think that's also indicative. I think people kind of waded into this pool of a weird season tentatively, you know, knowing that there was going to be, having that season, a season outside the bubble, there was going to be, you know, stops and starts and positive cases and everything. But it's gone. You've seen the press releases from the league about how there hasn't been, you know, any new, I think, cases, positive cases in the last round.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, I've also noticed people talk about how people around the league have been policing each other more. Mm-hmm. So, look, there's a long season to go, and I think that the key point, that people are going to be keeping their eye on. Sorry for the car alarm you can hear in the background.
No worries.
The key point that people are going to keep their eye on is kind of the concept of protocol fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, as the season goes on, which is obviously much longer than the bubble, this concept of people feeling like, they start kind of letting little things slip. I don't want to wear my mask as much. I don't want to wash my hands as much. I don't want to mind my, do all the daily things that teams are required to do. And that's where teams are concerned. They're concerned the most about, having outbreaks and things like that. So it's early, it's going well, it's a long road ahead.
Baxter, you mentioned something in the article that NBA team health officials are obviously spending so much time trying to keep up and follow the new COVID-19 protocols. How is that taking away from their attention towards players, preventing injuries, so forth?
Yeah, that is the number one issue that I've heard from people around the league, is they are being so bogged down by all the daily things that they have to do with respect to protocols and trying to have a season outside the bubble, that their ability to manage whatever else their main job is, their day job is being sacrificed. And a lot of the people who have to manage these coronavirus protocol things are people who work on the health side of things. It makes sense. You have your health people who work on a health-focused kind of thing. But they're saying that they haven't been able to kind of work with players if it's areas of treatment, training, rehab, recovery, what have you. And there is definitely a concern that player care is being sacrificed in a way for this. And no one I talk to blame the NBA or anybody else. Like, everybody understands this is an extraordinary situation. And it's maybe more extraordinary and taxing, I think, than people anticipated. And I don't, I've asked people, like, well, what do you think the answer is? Do teams have to hire more staffers? Do they have to outsource some of this? Do we need, what needs to happen so that you don't have burnout and players potentially not getting the care they need? And there hasn't been a lot of answers right now. I think, people hope they can find a rhythm and that player health care isn't necessarily sacrificed to the degree that people fear that it is and will be, but it's early. You know, there's more questions than answers on that front at this point.
Baxter Holmes, senior national NBA writer for ESPN, joining Lakers Talk. Baxter, just to stay on that for a quick second, do you know if there has been some of the injuries that we've had so far early in the season? Is this normal? Do you think it's higher than it typically is? I'm just trying to see if.
No, yeah, I know what you're saying, and it's something I've been keeping an eye on too. I haven't heard anything about the number of injuries being out of whack or, whatever. And that was also, look, what you're asking was also something that was on people's mind with respect to, you know, the short turnaround for some teams that played late into the bubble,
sure,
or the long layoff for teams that haven't played since March. It's just like, it's a very unusual, different kind of time frame that people are working with. And so people have, wondered what the health of guys would be like right now. And for the most part, there's been pretty good reviews. But again, I think that this will be something to keep an eye on for sure. Like, if, player healthcare, like what injuries look like during what's already a really weird season.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We learned earlier today that KD, Kevin Durant, the Brooklyn Nets, facing a week-long quarantine. He'll miss 4 games. Is this kind of what is expected around the NBA? I mean, do you think, just talking to certain people around the league, was this kind of the thought process coming into the season? Is like, yeah, no, this can very, very well happen. We expect things like this to happen, and we'll address it. I use the Lakers as an example. Alex Caruso has been out, health and safety protocols. He'll miss tomorrow's game as well. And I want to say that's 4 games total that he's missed. Is this just this is just what we have to expect in the NBA, at least over the next couple of months? Is this expected?
Yeah, you're right, and this is what people were talking about. But they also made the point that, when positive cases would pop up, like in the NFL or college football, guys might miss 1 game, and obviously there's a shorter schedule, and so, 1 game there means a lot. But they were like, a positive case here or being held out for quarantine for, contact tracing or whatever, like you could miss several games, and how does that look in if it's depending on what the standings look like, if it's later in the season, if it's the playoffs, like it's something that's very much on teams' minds. I mean, I think Luka Doncic said, he was asked like in the preseason, I want to say, about who was going to win the championship. And he said something to the effect of like the team with the fewest positive cases. I believe for a positive case, you have to be out at least 12 days. Which could be, any number of games. I think Durant's going to miss like at least 4 games, being out about a week.
Exactly.
The health thing is a real thing, but and that comes first and foremost, the health and well-being of everybody. But it really does affect competition as well.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Well, I always kind of highlight this, that I thought going into that Orlando bubble, that's the one thing that I think everybody thought of, is if the champion because somebody was out, tested positive for COVID, and obviously that never happened in the Orlando bubble, and we'll kind of see how the rest of this season goes along. But thank you, Baxter. I appreciate it. It's a great article. NBA team health officials find balance tough with new COVID-19 protocols. You could go on ESPN.com and catch that. Baxter, thanks for the time, bud.
Always a pleasure, man. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, Baxter. All right, that's Baxter Holmes right there. It really is. I mean, I kind of, the first thing I looked at, and I've had this mindset for coming into this season, I guess I looked at it two ways. First, I looked at it as, well, the NBA can do no wrong. And I was just kind of going off of Adam Silver and going off of how successful the Orlando bubble was. And then, it kind of dawned on me, it was the second day of the season, and you had that Oklahoma City and Houston Rockets game postponed. And Michael and I are doing the pregame show the next day. And I'm like, Michael, already? He's like, what do you mean already? I was expecting more of these just kind of based off of what's going on around the country, and now all of a sudden you're not in a bubble, and players after they're traveling and then they're going back home and they're staying in hotels. So I think so far, if you're the NBA and you're just a fan of basketball, you have to feel like, all right, even with a lot of hiccups along the way, the NBA is still kind of rolling along. I mean, Kevin Durant was the big one to come out. KD will miss. It looks like he'll miss a week, which will be four games for the Brooklyn Nets. But this can obviously happen on any team to any player. So we'll kind of have to follow that along as we go through the season. Okay, coming up next, I want to lob this out to Laker fans out there. Player you're most impressed with outside of LeBron and AD through these first seven games. So think about all these other guys that are contributing for the Lakers, contributing for the Lake Show. Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, KCP, Kyle Kuzma, whoever you're most impressed with so far to get the season started, that you love watching in this short season, that you think is going to play a bigger role as the season progresses, 877-710-ESPN. I'll tell you who I think coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. We're talking about Lakers you're most impressed with to start off the season. Take LeBron and Anthony Davis out the mix. Take LeBron out of the mix. I don't care. 36 years old, still the best player in the world. What have you done lately? No, LeBron's amazing. I'll get into LeBron a little bit later, how great he's been so far this year. But what of these role players or these new additions are you most impressed with? Really, for me, I think it comes down to just a few players you could really have about this conversation. I think you could throw into the mix Kyle Kuzma. Kuz is averaging so far this year about 11.5 points a game, 3 rebounds. I think another player you could throw into the mix, Montrezl Harrell, 13.75 rebounds. I got some sound from Montrezl Harrell too. He was on a little bit earlier today on one of those Lakers Zoom calls. You could talk about KCP. You could talk about Dennis Schroeder. So there's a few players that you can certainly put in this conversation outside of LeBron and AD. Which player just as you've been most impressed with this season, and as the season progresses, you think it's just going to have a bigger impact? This one, I don't think I even hesitate. I don't think I hesitate with this one. I think for me, you know, watching Dennis Schroeder so far this year, and I know it's a very, very small sample size. I know to just be seven games in, so much can change. But I think you can also tell there were four preseason games. There's certain players that you've got a chance to kind of follow in their career. Montrez having a good career with Houston and with the Clippers, and now coming here to the Lakers, you kind of know what Montrezl Harrell is. You know what Kyle Kuzma is. Dennis Schroeder, you know what he did in Oklahoma City and with the Atlanta Hawks. So I'm going to stay with Dennis Schroeder for a quick second. So one of the things that I enjoy watching in his game, and you know, I'll tell you, I'm one of those that was saying I prefer him coming off the bench. You guys remember his first interview. Dennis Schroeder comes to the Lakers, and he does one of those Zoom calls, and it was actually pretty cool. He was doing it from the Lakers practice facility, literally as if he was just dribbling a ball at half court. And they're like, all right, Schroeder, you're up to talk with the LA media. He's like, cool, just FaceTiming from the court, you know, getting his work in. But one of the things that he talked about was he wanted to play with LeBron and AD. So obviously what he was referring to there was he wanted to start. And I think that rubbed some Laker fans the wrong way. I think Laker fans were like, no, we need you to come off the bench. You got to come earn your spot, earn your role. And I was one where I wasn't paying that much attention to that, but I just thought Lakers were going to take this blueprint that they had last year, which was Danny Green and KCP are starting. And if Danny Green is gone, you pretty much brought Wesley Matthews in, which plays very, very similar to what Danny Green is to in the NBA. And you thought you were just going to kind of plug in another guy that was fitting in for Danny Green. Danny Green, KCP, or I'm sorry, Wesley Matthews, KCP, LeBron, AD, and Marc Gasol. I was on the boat of bring Dennis Schroeder off the bench. That's going to be better for the Lakers if he comes off the bench. Here he is now starting for the Lakers, has been starting since preseason, and he's averaging in these seven games 16 points, about 5 assists a game, and a little bit more than 4 rebounds a game. And so far, I think what he's added, this element that he's added, first of all, now I don't think you could take him out of the starting lineup because you actually need that firepower. Like if you tried to throw Wesley Matthews in there, I wouldn't feel good about that starting lineup. I just wouldn't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, that spacing that he could provide with LeBron and AD. But you need Wesley Matthews in that starting, or you need Dennis Schroeder in that starting lineup. And I think what he's done for the Lakers, he's added this element that they never had last season. They never had it. I know you could say, well, Rajon Rondo in the playoffs was a nice player who was able to attack and get to the basket and get to the rim. I understand that we could kind of make that argument. We can make that case. But the reality is Rajon Rondo wasn't doing it all season long. And it's not like Rondo was the most consistent player when he's here with the Lakers. Now, come playoff time, the man delivered. And there's no questions about that. He delivered for the Lakers. He had as much to do with that championship run as any of those role players for the Lake Show, specifically in that Orlando bubble. But Schroeder just adds this really, really nice element to the Lakers. And I think he's becoming a key starter for the Lake Show. But he offers this unique punch that we didn't have last season. Like I mentioned, he's a scoring threat. He's a pest on defense. You know, I've mentioned this a few different times that Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, you never got to worry about, are these guys giving enough effort? I don't think that's ever going to cross your mind, especially Montrezl Harrell. But he's the one that I think I've been most impressed with so far to start off the season. It's not a surprise. I mean, it's not a shock. I mean, he was coming to the Lakers. We all kind of thought, we said to ourselves, what? We're trading Danny Green and a 28 pick, an expiring contract of Danny Green to grab Dennis Schroeder on a contract year to come to the Lakers. The money meets the same. I think it's $15 million a year for both of those guys. And this was a player that was runner-up, sixth man of the year. I don't think anybody is shocked to see that Dennis Schroeder is fitting in well, but it's been great to see because on paper, you usually can make a case on paper, but the reality is until you actually see everything working together, now you're like, okay, I like when Dennis Schroeder is in these games. I like the type of player that he is, unselfish player with LeBron and Anthony Davis. So for me, he's been most impressive. Now I'll also say this, Montrezl Harrell, you know, last night is a perfect example, and I do want to play something from Montrezl Harrell here in just a second. One of the things that I think I enjoy most about Montrez, the guy doesn't need the ball to be effective. The guy does not have to, you know, certainly he's not demanding the ball and saying, okay, well, this is the only way that I could be an asset to the Lakers is by taking 15 shots a game or something along those lines. That's not been the case with Montrez. And yesterday, actually, against Memphis, Lakers were lackadaisical in that first quarter. I thought Montrez came in and kind of provided a different type of energy that the Lakers needed. And he's been a fantastic tool so far. So earlier today, here's Montrez talking about, this is interesting. Somebody was saying that, you know, is he playing with a chip on his shoulder? Take a listen to Montrez on that front.
I don't really care, man. Don't really matter to me what other people really think, man. You know, honestly, my whole career, people thought I wasn't supposed to be here in the league, man. So, you know, I built my name off of, you know, hard work and just playing hard and just doing the things that don't really show up in the stat sheet. I know how hard I work in my game. I know how hard me and my trainer, Rico, get after it to improve my game. So as far as trying to prove people wrong or what I can and can't do, this isn't that.
Montrezl Harrell's definitely one of those players that's not paying attention to what other people are saying. Definitely not one of those guys that really cares about the media, the outside noise. He's confident in what he can do. And, you know, it's funny. Whether he says he has a chip on his shoulder or he doesn't, he plays as if he does, right? He plays like one of those guys that nothing's ever been handed to him, and you just can't take that out of his blood, that's always going to be there. Montrez continues earlier today at on the Zoom calls with the media, Montrez talking about the coaches, the teammates, letting him play his game. All right, looks like.
I mean, honestly, really, it's just being able to just play my game and just not being, you know, kind of told and set on, you know, it's got to be this, this, or this. And, you know, it's kind of been the system that I kind of been playing in for a while. You know, it's got to be threes, layups, or, you know, basically free throws, but that's not like that over here. You know, they play to the style of everybody's game, and, you know, we're not looking at, you know, anybody as, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that, man. We play basketball over here. It's a free-flowing game. Nobody tries to go outside of themselves, and I think that's what the best thing about being over here on this team and being with these guys, because everybody does, you know, what they already do well. Don't nobody try to go out there and try to prove that they do something, you know, that people haven't seen, really. So, really, it's just having the free flowing and the free feel from not only the coaching staff, but, you know, the players that you're on the floor with, to have confidence and to know what you put into the game and know what you bring to the game, man, to just, you know, be, you know, confident in the shots that you take. And, you know, we're all living with them. Nobody's going to say anything bad because, like I said, everybody's in a free-flowing feel.
All right, that's Montrezl Harrell from earlier today. Lakers, Grizzlies tomorrow. I think both those players I just mentioned, Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, hey, maybe can we have tomorrow's game be one of those games where LeBron and AD play 25 minutes or less. So those two players are obviously going to be key all season long. And I think both of them have been great to start off the season and as advertised. So a lot of expectations coming with these two players. So far, they're delivering. And when these matchups get a little bit tougher and we start facing stiffer competition, that's when their name's going to be called even more. All right, we got top NBA stories coming up next. We'll talk about Kevin Durant. We'll talk about what Shannon Fry on the Warriors run from 2016 to 2019 said about KD. Talk about J.J. Barea on the J.J. Redick podcast. So we got a lot coming up. Plus Steph Curry on that 62-point performance last night against the Portland Trailblazers. So thank you for tuning in. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.